Welcome, passengers. This is the pre-boarding announcement for the podcast From the Runway Up. Today's flight will introduce you to the world of aviation in East Tennessee. So fasten your safety belts and return your tray tables to their upright position. And in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, From the Runway Up listeners. Welcome back. My name is Caitlin, along with Becky. And we have a special guest this month. This month on our episode, we're going to talk about air service and all that is involved with that. So we have Jim Evans, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Air Service Development with us. So Jim, welcome to our studio.
Why, thank you both very much. It's always a pleasure to drop by and spend a little time with two of my favorite people.
I like this show.
We didn't even pay him to say that.
No, this is great. Oh, and you know, air service is something we get asked about all the time. So can you kind of tell us what air service for an airport really is for people who might not know?
Air service is bringing more airlines, more airplanes into our airport, and once we get them, doing everything we can to fill them up and make them successful.
So not just recruiting them, but keeping them and maintaining them along the way.
Exactly.
Excellent, excellent. And what makes our airport different from another airport when you're making some kind of a case for an airline to bring that service to our area?
Well, there's different ways to answer that question. If you look at the East Tennessee market, where very fortunate to have a diverse mix of corporate facilities in town. You know, some of our largest corporations that are headquartered here. We also have a very large government installation up in Oak Ridge, as well as the University of Tennessee. And the third piece of the pie is the tourism component with the Great Smoky Mountains, which is the most visited national park in the country. So very few, if any, other communities have those three key ingredients in their demographic mix. So those are the three points that we ride very hard when we're soliciting air service.
So we can brag on ourselves in that regard.
Absolutely. We're number one.
Excellent.
Well, and you said that you work on bringing airlines and more airplanes to our area. How many airlines do we have right now?
At the moment, we have 5, which doesn't really sound like a lot. A few years ago, I think we had 8 or 9, but the airline industry has been merging and consolidating. So we actually have more flights or carrying more people than we ever have before. But with mergers such as the recent American-U.S. Airways merger, 2 airlines become 1. So we have 3 of the largest carriers in the world, American, Delta, and United here, which can give you global connections anywhere you want to go in the world. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're very fortunate to have 2 low fare carriers with Allegiant and Frontier that are really specializing on vacation travelers, visiting friends and family around the country, just ultra low fare service. So we have both ends of the spectrum pretty well covered. We always would like more. There are a few more airlines that we're actively pursuing. We look for growth opportunities from our current carriers. Allegiant in particular has been very good about adding service to new markets in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very good year for us so far.
Well, and you said that you are constantly pursuing other airlines. What does that involve? How do you go about doing that?
We go out and promise them the world, basically. In today's world, in order for a community like ours to gain new service, we're pretty much taking it away from another airport.
Taking the airplanes away.
Taking the airplanes away, yes. So, which is unfortunate for those whose airplanes we are taking, but we also have to be cognizant that there are 400 other airports trying to do the same thing to us.
Right.
So we have to be very careful that when we get new service that it is successful. Otherwise, those airplanes will go away and go to another airport. So we play offense and defense at the same time.
In the world, air service is something that is what makes the economy go around in regards to business are able to compete not just here in the U.S., but they're also able to travel overseas and be a competitive force there too. When you're talking about economic development in air service, what does that really mean for an airport, and how does that initiative connect McGee Tyson Airport to the world and the business economies?
Great question.
Could you say that again?
I really got to the very bottom of my question-making soul.
Wow. Generally, for corporate travel, and particularly for a headquarters, companies are looking for frequent service with nonstops to lots of places that are important to them. If you look at a place like Charlotte, North Carolina, that is a major hub for American Airlines, which, again, it used to be U.S. Airways hub there, now it's American. Charlotte's economy has just blossomed because of all the nonstop flights available to them. And there are other hubs around the country, you could say the same thing. That, you know, you imagine it, what would Atlanta be without the Delta hub in Atlanta, mm-hmm. the world's largest or the world's busiest airport? So corporations look for high frequency, they look for reliable service. And when the economic developers are out recruiting new businesses to come to East Tennessee, air service is one of the key things that prospective companies are looking at. Now, we're fortunate here that we have more nonstop destinations than just about every other airport our size in the country. We currently go to 21 markets on a nonstop basis. Kind of the average for an airport our size is maybe 14 or 15. So we're significantly higher than the average.
That's great.
And that is a good selling point for recruiting new companies to come here. You look at some of our marquee companies like Pilot, you know, comes to mind, or Regal, or Clayton Homes, some of the people here in town, the marquees. You know, their people are traveling out to visit their clients, and they obviously want to get there quickly and get back home quickly, but also their vendors and their suppliers are coming in to visit with them. And they want to get in and get back to wherever they're from also. So again, the schedule and nonstop destinations are really important for the business traveler.
Well, that's very interesting, and I know I'm always surprised at how often we get calls from area economic development groups that are working to recruit these companies to our area, and how that ties back to aviation and hospitality and the appearance or perception of our community and what that air service looks like. I'm very surprised at how often we get asked to help in that process. We just recently did with Cirrus Aircraft. They're a new tenant here at McGee Tyson Airport, and they're continuing to build their campus out there. But that was a long time in coming. It was a long process. It's not like you wake up and they go, hey, we're going to send you a sheet of paper, and this is our nonstop destinations. Realistically, how long does it take to help recruit possible companies to our facility? And then maybe even airlines. I mean, I know when we tried to recruit Frontier Airlines, it took about 10 years to get them here to start their service, and now they're doing really well because we always knew it was a good business case. Realistically, what should people be thinking about when it comes to how long-term some of these involvements and relationships have to be to bring that new service or that new business to town?
It varies slightly, but the broad answer would be years. Let's talk about the airline side first, and you mentioned Frontier. It literally took 10 years to get mm-hmm. Frontier. You know, we're talking to some other airlines that we have been in communication with for probably 15 or 20 years. And you just have to stay in front of them. You have to maintain top-of-mind awareness, because at any given moment, they may find out that they've got an airplane available and they need to send it somewhere. We want them to remember McGee Tyson Airport as a destination for that airplane to go. They can take their airplanes and go anywhere in the world they want to. You know, and in a lot of cases, given the choice between coming to Knoxville as a new destination or maybe adding a additional frequency between New York and Chicago, where do they have the best chance to make more money? Now, we have got to convince them that there's a greater profit available here than adding that additional frequency somewhere else. So that's kind of the battle that we fight in the world of airlines. And there has never been a recruitment effort that I've been involved in that happened overnight. Every one of them is we establish a relationship, we talk to them, we send them stuff, we go visit with them, and ultimately it leads to service.
So when now, someone calls and says, hey, have you thought about calling Southwest Airlines? Your answer is,
what
yes.
What a good idea.
We've tried to be, we are calling them for 20 years now.
We have thought about every airline that is out there, as well as some that are not even flying yet. It's a very, very competitive industry. Ultimately, profitability is the key driving force. You know, airlines are not public service organizations. Mm-hmm. They're for-profit corporations, and they have to report to their shareholders and their ownership group. So they're looking to maximize their revenues. And that is pretty much all that they care about. So our message to them is they can be very profitable in East Tennessee. And we can, kind of the other component is we can make a very, very strong business case for service to our airport. However, if we don't fit in what their strategic vision is for the company, then they won't be here. And by way of an example, several airlines are really focusing on international growth right now. Mm-hmm. Well, we are a domestic market, so we just don't quite fit with what they're trying to do right now. So we have to be patient and stay in front of them and remind them that we're here, because ultimately, I feel very good our time will come. But if their goal is to add more flights to Mexico or South America or Cuba, has been a hot topic over the last year, that's something we can't control. So well, now yeah. we just go back. You mentioned the recruitment of corporations.
Yeah.
Corporations are a little different, and we help our economic developers with that.
Yeah, so that's not only recruiting airlines, but also recruiting businesses. That falls under your department.
It does.
Department
we partner with the various state and economic development agencies, and those can also take years, but they can also be a real quick decision where a company wants to leave wherever they are for whatever reason. Let's say they're in a state that changes their tax laws and they decide they want to get out. A situation like that, a decision could be made in a matter of months. So it really runs from really, really quick to taking forever. And we have to be prepared to do whatever it takes to bring the deals home.
And they're real complex, both the airline and recruitment, as well as the recruitment of businesses to our community. It's not as simply as just showing them. It involves site visits. It involves discussion with area elected officials. It's looking at, like you mentioned, tax situations. It's really complex. And so the airport is just a small part of that big complex initiative to bring those people in. But we seem to be in the forefront when the groups do make it to our area. They have to fly in. And so we're one of the first faces they see when they get there. So we usually are a really strong arm in the recruitment processes involving new companies that come to our area.
Yeah, and for airlines in particular, we become the lead agency in hosting a site visitor, really recruiting them. But ultimately, it is a regional effort where we partner with tourism organizations, the corporate community, government agencies, the economic developers. We are all telling the same story. Each group might have a different chapter. Ultimately, though, the airport is not going to buy tickets on the airline service. You know, we look to the community to do that, and that's why community support is so critical. We can tell a carrier about all the great things about East Tennessee and promise them the world and ultimately get them here. Mm-hmm. But once they're here, we're not the ones buying the tickets, and that's when we look to the community to support our efforts. And a kind of a classic example is if you have a new carrier coming in flying against an incumbent carrier, generally what tends to happen is everybody is glad to see the new guy here, but they stay on the current carrier because of frequent flyer loyalty or they mm-hmm. just like them or whatever.
Right.
Sometimes you need to change to the new guy to give them a little bit of your business so that they will be successful. You know, we don't endorse one airline over another. However, I will say if a new guy comes to town and they don't get the business, they can be gone very quickly. And we unfortunately have seen that happen here. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen.
Well, and that serves as an example to future people looking to come to our airport. That one didn't work because they were the new carrier in the market. What means that it'll be any different for me when we come in? So having something fail is not as good. It's even worse, maybe not even having the service to begin with, because it serves as an example of that lack of support if it needed it.
Yeah, and we pay the price sometimes for what has happened in other communities.
Okay.
A lot of mid-sized cities like ours, excuse me, have had success, you know, bringing, you know, maybe a new carrier to town, and people will line up and pledge their loyalty, and when the flights are put in, they may stay with the incumbent carriers. So we're out promising the world here for East Tennessee, and we're asked by the carriers, well, we had a similar situation in City X. What makes you think Knoxville will support us any better than they did in City X? And that's a tough question to answer because, again, we can't control the purchasing of the community. Mm-hmm. You know, we can tell the story of the carrier and point out the advantages of having additional competition in the market, but again, if the traveling public doesn't support the service, it will go away. You know, in a lot of ways, you know, if you have a large retailer come to town, they're going to build a building, they're going to have a big capital investment in their facility. Mm-hmm. You know, if they lose money for a while, they're not going to close because they've built their building. Well, an airline, their assets are completely mobile. So if they don't do well, they can be gone this afternoon. And it's just a dynamic that we have to deal with.
Well, and you mentioned that Allegiant brought in a few new nonstops last year. Have those been successful? Have we been filling up the planes with those new routes?
I think so. We seem to be doing very well. In the last 12 months or so, Allegiant launched Las Vegas, Destin, Fort Walton Beach, Baltimore, Washington, and Newark, mm-hmm. New York City service, in addition to the Florida service they already had. That was an incredible amount of new service that they put into our market.
Well, and they moved from just being a Florida, you know, Florida destinations to around the United States, which was nice for
yes.
us.
Yeah, they go north, south, and west now.
Yeah.
Not a lot of opportunity for them to go east, but they don't have a hub as a like a traditional carrier, but their airplanes coming and going to lots of places now. And some of them, and I'll use Baltimore, Washington, is a little unusual for them because they specialize in vacation travel. Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. is a very important business destination for us. So, you know, they're trying to capitalize on a little bit of that business travel that's going up there. But mainly they're trying to get people that would be driving to Washington to go on vacation
right.
to fly there instead. And thus far, it seems to be working pretty well. And I should also point out, they're great for bringing people into our region from these outlying cities. So people that, you know, maybe would be driving to the Smokies for vacation or in all likelihood not be coming here at all, they now
right.
have a cheap, affordable, I guess that's redundant, cheap and affordable. They have a cheap, nonstop way to get here.
Right.
And they're coming here for the first time and discovering the Smokies as a destination, and they love it like everybody else.
Which is a win-win for all of
it's
us.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Well, and I think based on the underlying theme of everything we've talked about today, it's been about partnerships, either a partnership with an economic development organization, a hospitality or tourism organization, or a relationship that's being developed or cultivated through an airline. That would be the core lining of what we've talked about. How important is that to the success of an air service program at an airport?
This is going to sound like Butch Jones, but it's critical.
We love us.
Love you, Coach.
Yeah. Mean it.
Yeah. No, an airport can only do so much. Ultimately, the community has got to support what the airport is trying to do. And we've touched on this several times in this conversation. We can bring the horse to water, but somebody else has got to provide the water for him to drink on a long-term basis. Otherwise, it will be gone. Mm-hmm. Now, we partner with so many people. There's really too many to list. I will point out the Knoxville Chamber and Innovation Valley as two of our really premier partners, and that there's an organization that lives there called the Competitive Airfare Partnership, also known as CAP. And CAP is our public-private support group that can do things for airlines in terms of incentives and special programs that by law the airport authority is prohibited from doing. So CAP is a very valuable partner to what we try to do here. They're involved in all of our air service development activities. So if anyone is approached by CAP to get involved, we strongly endorse what they are doing. They're very important to our long-term success.
Well, and you mentioned earlier too, kind of changing topics here. You mentioned that we are not an international airport. Will we ever be an international airport? What goes into making that happen?
I think that would be a great future podcast for us to get into, talking about international service in general. And then we could also talk about how the process of working with customs to bring it to the facility.
Because it's not just we want to be an international airport, let's do it.
Let's just open the doors and put an area separate from the domestic departures. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
There is. And we technically are an international airport. We have international flights that come and go here frequently. They're not airline flights. They're primarily corporate jets. Mm-hmm. There's U.S. Customs office here in town, and they come out and meet, you know, the aircraft and clear customs just like, you know, they would anywhere else. But you're right, we do not have an international arrivals facility for airlines. Just because international is not in our airport name does not mean that, you know, that we cannot become an international airport officially. So, you're right. There's a lot that goes into it. And as the world becomes more globally connected, it is something that we have looked at very hard about how do we make that transition to add the facilities and the staff that we need to handle international travel. We think there's an opportunity there both for corporate travel, but primarily for tourism.
Yeah.
Our people want to go to places like Cancun and down to the Caribbean.
I would definitely like that. Support that service.
I would support that too.
They yes. would have a regular person as long as it was low fare.
Yes, yes. But also, again, we're back to the Smokies. The power of the Smokies, and particularly the Dolly Parton brand, is very strong in Europe. And there have been some very serious conversations about bringing European charters here to go up to the Smokies and, you know, experience Dollywood and, you know, all that's in Sevier County. And a lot of those flights right now are coming into the Southeast. You know, they're going to Atlanta. Some of them are going to Nashville, and they're doing bus tours of the Southeast, ending up back at an international departure airport. You know, we would like to have some of those flights come in here just so the people can experience what we have to offer. And it really is something that I thought we were there a couple of times several years ago, but the sticking point has been not having a international arrivals building, and that's something we're going to have to deal with at some point.
Yeah.
Podcast listeners, please take your seats and prepare for landing.
I think that would be a great discussion for a podcast, just looking at how big that binder is to even get started in the process of determining whether your airport's eligible for this kind of service, the infrastructure that has to go into place.
Because we did a study a few years ago
and looked at it and really take a look at what it takes to bring international service or a customs operation specifically so you can be a departure city. That would be an excellent podcast for some time down the road.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
It would be fun.
So film at 11.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today. It's been really interesting learning more about air service, economic development, and how it is not just about bringing an airline in here. It's about the impact that airline has on our community, about attracting new business development. It's just really very far-reaching, a lot farther than outside the walls of the airport terminal building.
It is. It's always a pleasure to stop by and talk to you guys.
Thank you for coming to our podcast.
Takes
studio.
A village, thousand points of light, strategery, all that stuff.
Wonderful.
Well, we really appreciate it. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode, and we hope that you will tune in next month.